Hello and welcome to Gotta Classify 'Em All, a podcast where childhood memories meet science. Each episode we talk about a Pokemon and the science that may have inspired it. In this episode we discuss the 10th Pokemon, Caterpie. I'm your co-host and 2000 regional Pokemon tournament winner, Camden Hanslick-Burton, and joining me as always is my wonderful co-host and Pokemon trainer in training, Margaret Hanslick-Burton.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Okay, Margaret, we're back.
Thank you.
Yes.
Welcome.
This is the 10th episode. People listening who have listened before might be thinking, wait a second, I thought it was only the odd-numbered episodes that end up being out there for the public.
Mm-hmm.
But this is 10, which is, Margaret,
Diez.
An even number. So we just wanted to, one, say that we're back, so that's why we're on the public feed today. For those of you who may not know, we were maybe off for a while.
A little bit.
Had some family personal things that went on. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very glad to, I think, get back on the podcast horse as it is.
As it were. Is there a horse Pokemon?
The horse sea as it is.
Hmm.
You don't know what these are yet. That's the whole show. but we really want to thank our lovely Patreon supporters.
Yes.
Who will be getting the even numbered episodes after this, but want to give a public shout out to all of our Patreon supporters and our newest ones that we've had even since we've been gone, the Parkers.
Welcome, Parker family.
Welcome, Parker family. We appreciate the Parker family patronage. I tried hard to on that. Good. Anyway, thank you so much. And if you want to support us on Patreon and our podcast, Gotta Classify 'Em All, and our other podcast, Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, you can go get some bonus content on Patreon. So you can find that bonus content at patreon.com/don't pee on your leg. Now, Margaret.
I was just going to mention, I think we mentioned it on this podcast before, but we added another little Pokemon to our family in November, and now in addition to Satchel Paige, our 1 year 1 month old black lab mix, who we love very much, we also have Olympia, and she is a 11 month old golden retriever mix, both from my job at the animal shelter. And so you might hear them making some sounds because they love each other very, very much. And they also love to play fight. And they're very tired. So they're kind of like, I assume, like toddlers who just need a nap and they will not admit it. So you might hear some little growls and sounds. But
I wondered if that was why you
they're having a good time.
Were introducing them. Yeah. And so, and they eat now double the kibble. So if you want to help us feed these little Pokemon, these pocket monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can go to patreon.com/don't pee on your leg. Now, on to the show. Margaret, you ready?
I'm ready.
We are out of the original three.
Okay.
Like
and
the three, you know, can you recap for us where we've been?
Yes. We started with Bulbasaur.
Uh-huh. And their evolution. And we're not going to pull on this.
Bulbasaur, and then we had Squirtle.
Uh-huh.
And then we had Charizard, Charmander, Charmeleon. In a different order.
In an appropriate order, but yes. Mm-hmm. But now we are into what I call a bit of the wilderness for Margaret. So for folks who've listened before, we've probably dropped hints that we're doing this because Pokemon was a universe that I really loved growing up as a kid.
And it's a universe I knew nothing about.
And so this is where I think it's going to get really fun and exciting, because Margaret has not only maybe not heard of most of these, she's certainly never seen almost all of these.
No. Right, Satchel? Exactly.
Olympia agrees. Satchel agrees. I know they haven't seen it.
No.
Caterpie, Margaret.
I've heard of this one.
You have?
Only in passing. there, I think there was someone who was like, I can't wait for you to get to Caterpie because the evolution of Caterpie is what's exciting about them.
Maybe.
No? Okay.
Depends on what that person finds exciting.
Okay.
So we're going to get to what Caterpie looks like here in a second. Caterpie, again, is the 10th Pokemon. Always start with, where did this name come from? What do you think their name came from, Margaret?
Caterpillar.
Yes. Caterpillar, which is, the etymology of caterpillar is from an old French word, chapelus.
Can you hear it one more time?
Chapelus.
Uh-huh.
I looked this up online, and so I'm doing a 60% job of saying it.
I'm sure it's great.
Which means hairy cat, which, you know...
Adorable.
Hairy, I'd get for a caterpillar.
Sorry, it means hairy cat?
Yeah.
Most cats are pretty hairy. Seems like a...
Huh. Not all cats.
No, but...
Anyway. But in English, the insect, they saw that the caterpillars strip the bark off of trees.
Okay.
And so they took the cat part.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it, but added pillar, sort of as like a... Frenchlish, like pelouse, pillar, and pillar means strip or to pill, like pill a shirt, you know?
Yes.
So cat pillar, cat stripper.
Mm-hmm. Not that. But, no.
Yeah. Caterpillar.
I'm really excited about getting into this part of Pokemon because even though I may have heard of some of these, what they look like is completely a mystery. Can I tell you what I imagine Caterpie looks like?
Yes.
I think there was a game called Caterpillar on the computer game in the early aughts, late 90s maybe, that involved playing as a giant caterpillar, and it was all pixelated and kind of like basically green squares connected to one another, and that's what I'm imagining for Caterpie.
Like connected green squares.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Will it look like a caterpillar?
I think it will have
big
eyes.
Okay. Like a caterpillar?
Like some species of caterpillars.
Okay. Anything else about it?
No.
All right. You ready?
Yes. Okay. Big eyes.
Okay. You got the big eyes.
Why
for sure.
Why does it have a branch on its head?
That's its antenna, which we'll talk about.
Okay. And so it has kind of like a platypus flat little yellow tail.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
And how many legs do you see there?
Four. And then a long tail.
Yeah. I
want to see it move because it really is giving me more seahorse than anything.
It's giving me seahorse vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely got coloration. Like, I think if you just saw this thing and said, what did someone draw here?
You would get it.
You'd get caterpillar, which is not, like, if you saw Blastoise, you'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
not what I expected at all.
No. So this is Caterpie, right? Well, first off, it is known as the worm Pokemon.
Okay.
There you go. They are, what type do you think they are? So we've
grass.
Had, surprisingly not grass. They don't get grass for this one. What is a caterpillar? Or what would people colloquially call a caterpillar?
A bug.
It's a bug.
Okay.
It's bug Pokemon.
I forgot that was a type. Bug type Pokemon?
Bug type.
Okay.
I don't think we've had a bug type yet.
No.
This is our first bug type.
Hooray. Pop the champagne.
So this guy gives you a five-finger discount from your local convenience store. And as they run out, what height do they clock at?
I thought you meant one of his powers was...
Is stealing. Larceny.
Stealing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 6 inches tall.
Yeah, it's a caterpillar. It's 1 foot tall.
Wow.
Which it doesn't work. It's not helpful either way you do this. Is it a foot tall?
Oh.
Is it a foot long? Either way... Giant caterpillar.
Too big. Much too big. Okay.
And so I thought maybe Bulbapedia had gotten this one wrong. Maybe it was an inch.
Questioning the
So
source.
Yeah, I looked at the weight, and then the weight really helps you understand.
I'm so scared. Can I? I'm going to say 4 pounds.
6.5 pounds.
That doesn't surprise me as much as the height does.
For a caterpillar?
Yeah.
Like a 5 pound weight is hefty.
Yeah.
You pick up a caterpillar and you felt a 5 pound weight, wouldn't you be like,
No, I would. The whole situation is weird though. Because I wouldn't think, oh, a caterpillar. I'd look at this and think, oh no, a dragon lost its legs.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Chonky snake.
To be unnerved by.
Yes, it is unnerving. Yeah, it's a hefty little chapulus.
Chapulus.
Yes. Strengths. Boy, if you had one of these thick worms.
Ugh.
In battle, what would you hope it was going up against?
A slug, a blade of grass.
So grass type Pokemon. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Milkweed.
Similarly, nope. Get a little more general.
Mm.
Yes.
Plant. Milkweed plant type.
Ground type. Mm-hmm. So there's grass and ground.
Okay.
You will find out there's not plant type. There's just grass.
That's what I'm starting to learn.
Yeah. Okay. Grass, ground type, and fighting type.
I really have an issue with fighting type. Are they not all fighting?
Yes. I forgot about that very good point
mm-hmm.
you made.
Mm-hmm.
Weaknesses. Oh, boy. You not want one of these little caterpillars.
Fire.
They do not like fire.
Water?
They're fine with water. Oh. Very neutral about
okay.
water. They need it to survive.
So their one weakness is fire?
Nope. There's two others.
Okay.
Oh, no. Someone dropped a...
rock on it.
A rock type.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
which is disgusting given how
ew.
Big it is.
Oh.
And
ew.
Then what are things that prey on caterpillars?
Other bugs.
Sometimes.
Birds. Oh.
Flying type.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go.
That makes a bit more sense. I like that.
So the next two episodes will be its evolution stages. So mm-hmm. it has two evolution stages, 3 in total, just like the other Pokemon we've experienced so far. We will get to some that don't.
That have more than 3 or less than 3? Both?
So the evolution stages for Caterpie
mm-hmm.
are Metapod, which is at level 7, and Butterfree, which is at level 10.
Okay.
Now, 7 and 10, it's been a while since we've done an episode,
mm-hmm.
are very low levels. This is like super fast evolution for the Pokemon game. For comparison, Squirtle was not able to evolve into Wartortle until Tortle.
Sorry.
Until level 16.
Oh.
And Blastoise at level 36.
Wow, that's a lot
so
more levels than
Metapod is level 7,
mm-hmm.
and Butterfree is level 10.
Oh, that's not very much then.
No, the final evolution stage is below what many other second stages.
Do you think that they're accounting for the relatively short lifespan of a caterpillar slash
well,
butterfly slash moth?
I think there's something they're accounting for. And I don't know if they get in a lifespan. I haven't got a lifespan in anything I've read so far. Maybe we'll get there.
Missing from the canon.
So we'll probably get into why I think they're so low in just a minute when we talk about how they're able to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But you ready for the Pokedex entry?
Yes.
Okay. Caterpie. Its short feet are tipped with suction pads that enable it to tirelessly climb slopes and walls.
Okay.
If you touch the feeler on top of its head, it will release a horrible stink to protect itself. And I assume a horrible stink is like a gas and not like he'll put up such a stink.
He'll make such a stink about it. So I guess this Pokemon doesn't do well against deodorant types.
I would have given to you if you've been like 8th grade boy types, but
I think you're missing an opportunity for a big old belly laugh, Cameron. Let it out.
Write in to don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com if you guffawed from your belly.
I did.
At that one.
I did.
So, yeah. Short feet tipped with suction pads. tirelessly climb slopes and walls.
Okay. But
do not touch that feeler on top.
Otherwise, so stinky.
So stinky. So the fighting moves. We're getting here because I think this is maybe why it evolves so quickly. I don't even know from like a weird biological reasons in the game, but I think evolves in like a gameplay kind of thing.
Same. I'll just wait until you tell me what they are.
So there are two moves it can do. If you remember from past episodes, there's usually quite a list.
Yes.
Like 5 to 10.
Yeah.
This has two.
I mean, it makes sense it's if you look at it.
It's a caterpillar. Yeah.
Pamplemousse.
The first one, what could a caterpillar do to you, Margaret?
Strip your bark.
Yeah, it could strip your bark, which bark stripping is not one of his moves.
Oh.
Weirdly.
Well, there aren't plant type, so it would be pretty useless.
Grass type.
Margaret. Grass.
Nope, it's not that. So, oh man, this 1 foot 6.5 pound caterpillar just tackled me. Tackle.
Okay.
Which most Pokemon have.
Yeah. In what?
Of all things, I don't even know in what scenario someone would have seen that jump at another Pokemon and been like, that tackled it.
Now, it could be the case that someone very small is leaning down to tie their shoes. And that is when, you know, they're already kind of off balance.
The Pokemon that wears shoes.
That's when Caterpie strikes.
Caterpie, go. Get that.
Pokemon don't wear clothes. I thought I've seen Pikachu in a hat, but that could have been Detective Pikachu.
I mean, yeah. There is Detective Pikachu. Why are you talking about clothing?
Well, I'm just saying, is there a possibility? Is there ever an opportunity for Caterpie to come upon someone tying their shoes?
Oh, I see.
Probably not.
The Squirtle gang had cool jackets and those sunglasses.
But not shoes. You don't bend down to put your sunglasses on.
Not normally, unless you drop them.
All right, what is the second move? It's got to make more sense.
Yeah, I feel like more sense.
Tell me.
String shot.
Now, what is that?
It shoots string out. I don't know which end.
Okay.
Because caterpillars can make string, like a stringy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is an attack. It is. It decreases the opponent's speed. I think it's supposed to like lay down like a sticky kind of thing on an opponent that makes them slow.
Okay.
Which fairly, if I was sprayed with string by a 1 foot worm creature, I'd slow down. Well, no, I'd run.
No, you wouldn't.
This is wrong. Yeah, I would speed up. Increase my anxiety.
Yeah.
Concern.
Okay.
That's it. Tackle and string shot.
Great.
Yep.
A lot to work with there.
Some fun facts before we get into the science. So you can see it. It does kind of resemble some real caterpillars.
Uh-huh.
Chapulus. I looked it up.
I feel like you're kind of getting into the science part.
Well, it does just... Okay. It resembles some swallowtails.
Yeah. Okay.
Caterpillars. Mm-hmm. I'll leave that for maybe some of us want to do that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And
then according to Pokemon Wiki, to avoid predators, I think you learned, it puts up a stink.
Puts up a little stink.
And it says it makes bird type Pokemon think twice about going after it.
Okay.
That's so
kind of like a real, I think they're, we'll just have to see if there's some real caterpillars that do that same sort of thing.
And then you mentioned the platypus tail.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Pokemon Wiki, it says the tip of the tail resembles the horn that many species of hawk moth larvae have on their rear ends.
Okay.
So just some food for thought.
Just some food for thought, for food for research later, right now.
Yeah. So Margaret. You said it. Let's get to it. The research. We have 20 minutes to each find a living or non-living thing that has traits that somewhat resemble something we've just talked about that Caterpie can do. Margaret, are you ready?
I am very ready. I'm really excited. There's a lot to work with here.
Here we go.
And we're back. All right. I got to say, I'm excited to go first. Can I please go first? I know we normally spin the wheel. Can I please go first?
Yeah.
I'm going to go first. Okay. So my sources are the University of Florida's Entomology and Nematology Department.
Like you went to the bug route.
Yes. What other? Wikipedia, the Australian Butterfly Sanctuary, Live Science, and the Queensland Museum.
Nice. Good museum.
Yes. So I have to apologize to Pokemon.
Oh.
Because I initially was a bit skeptical of the little horn branch thing on the top of Caterpie's head.
Oh, like that it wasn't a thing?
That it wasn't a thing. I thought, what a silly, ridiculous thing to add in. How unrealistic of you. I am so sorry. Because.
It's real?
Spice bush swallowtail caterpillars.
Hey, I talk about the spice bush
caterpillars. They actually do have an appendage very, very, very similar to the one that Caterpie sports.
Hey.
So it is called an osmeterium. I'm sure. Let me try that again. Osmeterium.
I don't know. I'm not an entomologist.
Osmeterium. So in a spice bush swallowtail caterpillar, that kind of horn-looking thing called the osmeterium is...
And to be clear, for people listening, it's not just a horn. Like, it goes up and then forks.
It's like a little...
Like a...
Little antenna.
But like antenna and like a TV antenna. Way you think of with bugs.
Not a bug.
I'm just describing... Thank you. For people who might be driving instead of Googling this.
Yes. Smart. Keep driving. So...
You're doing great.
Normally, it is inside their heads.
What?
Yeah. Normally, it's inside their heads in a little osmeterium kind of chamber. And
so sorry, real quick.
Go ahead.
I was Googling them earlier, and I was like, they said these look like these spice bush swallowtails. They don't all have the little thingy.
Because they only have it sometimes. And when they have it, it means that they are feeling threatened. So much like the picture of Caterpie, when a spice bush swallowtail caterpillar is threatened, it rears back, and that little TV antenna comes out.
Margaret's doing the motion for everyone.
Comes out or is extruded. And it looks like a little tiny cobra.
Aww.
The osmeterium... Again, like Caterpie, so sorry, Pokemon, for doubting you. It has stinky chemicals.
A stink?
Uh-huh.
It puts up a stink.
It puts up a stink that will hopefully repel any possible predators. There was a YouTube channel that I peeked at briefly. I can't recommend them because I didn't watch all of their videos, but it's called the Roddy and Clark Expeditions. They said that the osmeterium smells like a skunk.
Whoa.
Which is unpleasant.
To humans?
Does it smell like a skunk to humans?
Well, I'm just saying they smelled it.
Yes.
I'm just saying
still smell it.
I feel
it.
Like sometimes things release a chemical that to us we were like,
Yeah. No, it's very...
That's stinky.
Odorous. Uh-huh. So this part is so freaking cool.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
So as the caterpillar grows, the chemicals that coat its osmeterium change.
It's not always the same stink?
Mm-mm, because scientists think this is because the predators that a caterpillar encounters change. And
Whoa.
So the chemicals change too.
Wait,
It's so cool.
Evolution is wild.
It is. So what wards off some may not ward off others. And so the chemicals work for some and not for others. It's wild. Yeah. So I was going down the road of caterpillar defense, and there are a lot of caterpillars that defend themselves very well. So some caterpillars sting in order to defend themselves and would probably consider the spice bush swallowtails defense system a little bit amateur. So there is one, for example, called the saddleback caterpillar. It's native to warmer parts of the U.S. and to Mexico. And it looks like a long sea urchin wearing a neon construction vest. It is stunning.
A long sea... Wow.
Picture a, like, hot dog-shaped sea urchin wearing a neon construction vest. That's what it looks like, because it wants to make the message clear. I am going to hurt you. And do not mess with me. Yes.
Which caterpillar is this?
This is the Saddleback caterpillar.
Whoa.
They have these sharp, hollow spines that break off and get stuck in your skin, which can cause burning feelings and swelling.
Don't touch.
The toxins in their spines can also do damage to tissue, and they can cause rashes and welts as well.
I'm good.
Now, the southern flannel moth caterpillar sees that saddleback caterpillar and says, "That's adorable. Oh. That's so cute. Oh, what? That's so funny."
So these caterpillars are like playing a game of poker and like,
yes. They're
like, "Oh yeah, you stink."
There's stinking, then there's stinging. And then we get to the southern flannel moth caterpillar, a.k.a. puss caterpillar, a.k.a. opossum bug, a.k.a. asp caterpillar. And if you think about what an asp is.
A snake.
A venomous snake. Kind of gives you a feeling about what this caterpillar is all about. They are found in the southern parts of the U.S., I believe in Missouri as well. This caterpillar looks like a tiny toupee or kind of like a nudibranch. You know how those sea slugs have those kind of wavy, almost look furry sometimes? It has this luxurious, furry, hair-like structure
just
covering
on its head?
No, everywhere. Everywhere. But don't let its furry appearance fool you, because what looks like well-conditioned locks is actually painful, venomous spines.
Oh.
You need to get these stings treated right away. Because
from a caterpillar?
Yes. Because resulting symptoms from the southern flannel moth caterpillar include, or have been compared to, the feeling of having your bones broken and to blunt force trauma.
Oh my God.
Throbbing,
from a caterpillar.
Intense pain, not just where you got stung, but all over that limb where you got stung, vomiting, trouble breathing. So they are not messing around. There have been fatalities associated, not with this caterpillar, but with others. Those are very rare cases, and kind of like, you know, venomous snakes. It often is a situation of, unfortunately, not being able to have access to medical care in time, not being close enough to a hospital in time. But yeah, it's serious. So don't touch a caterpillar unless you 100% know what it is and that it's not going to sting you. If it is bright yellow, like the saddleback caterpillar, it's trying to send you a message. So just be careful out there.
Wowie. Wowzers.
Now, on a lighter, less painful note, I did try to find the largest caterpillar in the world because I wanted to see if anyone got even close to
that's smart.
Caterpie.
The 1 foot.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And there is some... It's not clear what the largest caterpillar in the world is. So I found the biggest moth in the world, which is, do you know what it is?
Oh, bird-eating moth.
It's a Disney film.
Hawkman.
About someone. I will find my way. I can go the distance.
The Hercules moth.
The Hercules moth is the biggest moth in the world, with a wingspan of 11 inches.
Hey, I found the biggest butterfly in the world.
What's
mine?
Is it the Queen Alexandra one?
Yeah.
Yes, I could not find out how big those caterpillars got.
10 to 11. Oh, the caterpillars?
Couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But the caterpillars of the Hercules moth get up to about 12 centimeters or 4.7 inches long and weigh around 29 grams.
Yeah.
So not very big.
Yeah, huge.
Very big. Not close to caterpie. At all.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case.
Nice, Margaret. Well done.
Thank you. Tell me about what you researched.
Well, I am glad you went first, because the Osmeterium also plays a role in a bit of what I learned about too.
Excellent.
So you went with poison venom, like chemical defenses, and I went with some physical ones, mostly swallowtail mimicry. So first off, we've been talking, I think you were talking a lot about swallowtails.
Mm-hmm.
So
spice bush. The swallowtails.
Spicebush. The swallowtails, Papillonidae, is a family of butterflies. So they're a smaller group of butterflies. A smaller group, but not small in size. They are the largest butterflies. They contain the birdwing butterflies, of which, what was the butterfly you said?
Queen Alexandra something?
I think
Queen Alexandra's butterfly? Okay.
Is, or maybe Alexandra's birdwing, but
oh, yeah.
Is the largest butterfly in the world, around 10 to 11 inch wingspans. So as big as the Hercules moth.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I don't know how big, I'm holding up my hand like that's going to help. I have no idea what the wingspan of my hand is.
But,
yeah, it's bigger than my hand anyway.
And the swallow, do you know what makes the swallowtails recognizable, just for people who are trying to picture them?
Do they have, do the bottoms of their wings have those, like they almost look like a teardrop at the bottom?
Yes.
Okay.
Little tongue, long tail thing coming off their bottom
like
wings.
Like a swallow.
Yeah.
Like
so those are the, yes, those are the swallowtails. So there's great debate in the Bulbapedia community about which Pokemon or which caterpillar is Caterpie based off of.
Oh, I have a strong opinion.
What is it?
The Spicebush. It looks exactly like them.
Yeah. So there's a Spicebush, Eastern Tiger Swallowtail, and the Asian Swallowtail.
Okay.
Which I think is colloquially because there's also a lot of different Asian or Swallowtails in Asia. So I don't know why this one got called the Asian Swallowtail. My fear is that it was named by people who are not from Asia. So I do not know.
We'll dig into that next time.
Yeah. But, a quick note about, since we're talking about caterpillars, butterfly development, first stage of a butterfly's lifespan starts as
an egg, a little egg.
And then that hatches to become a caterpillar, which will then become a pupa, and then, the butterfly.
When is the pupa stage? When it's in the cocoon? Okay.
Now I'm not an entomologist. There technically it might be a pupa when it's not fully in the cocoon yet. I don't know. that's not what I looked into. But caterpillars have five stages within their sort of life stage.
Yes, I saw this.
What do you remember?
One of them was, they call them like the first inner star.
Instar.
Instar. Uh-huh. Instar. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's one of five. There are five instars. Did you see how they're marked?
No.
It's every time they molt. When they become a different instar.
Okay.
So it molts five times. There are five instars before it becomes a chrysalis or a pupa or whatever that goes into that stage. So there's five instars. They have to molt. Why do animals molt, Margaret?
To get bigger. Because not every animal's
Our
skin stretches and grows with us.
Why can't they stretch?
Too hard.
Yeah. They are hard. Literally, their skeleton is on the outside of them.
Exo, you might say. It is on the exo of them.
Butterflies, all arthropods, their skeleton
cicadas,
is on
the... Cicadas.
All arthropods.
Tarantulas.
Bugs, insects, spiders, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crabs. Nice. those molts because they can't stretch. Yes. So... Here's a fun thing, though, that I learned from noted entomologist Dr. Lincoln Brower. Oh, by the way, my resources or my citations are from a research study from Michigan State University called The Genetics of Mimicry and Tiger Swallowtails, Monarch Watch, the Ecological Society of America, and phys.org. Phys like physiology.
Okay.
Like a little phys.
thank you for clarifying.
Some ASMR for you there.
Oof.
So Dr. Lincoln Brower, entomologist, said the caterpillar doesn't really shed its skin. It digests and reabsorbs most of it. Before the skin starts shedding, it does get tight, but it doesn't slip off. What happens is the cells beneath the skin start releasing huge amounts of enzymes and actually reabsorb most of the skin. Before it shed, it becomes just a very thin sheen over the body. So what looks like a very thin shedding is just the outside part of the cuticle, which is like the outer layer of a caterpillar.
Okay.
So it kind of looks like a snake's skin when it starts to shed. It's just like this very thin, like
layer.
Mm-hmm. But that I thought was kind of cool. Like, yeah, it reabsorbs a lot of those, you know, proteins and things that make up the...
A lot of energy goes into molting. And yeah, so you don't want to, if you don't have to lose all of that work.
Yeah. And it's like, we talked about this with spiders in our other podcast, Don't Pee on Your Leg, where you, like with webs, they kind of want to get as much of that back if they mm-hmm, can. That's mm-hmm. a lot, like you said, of energy and resources. So getting into the mimicry. So these caterpillars of these swallowtails do mimic things. You already talked about it a bit. What are they mimicking?
Caterpie.
Yes. So I guess maybe you mentioned the name of one, mm-hmm. which comes from its mimic. So some what of them mimic snakes.
Oh, yes. A snake. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because they will look bright green with those black dots.
Big eyes.
Big mm-hmm. eyes. It makes mm-hmm. them look kind of like a snake. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like a lot of them look like snakes. Mm-hmm. A note about mimicry. We talked about this also in Don't Pee on Your Leg. There's a lot, but the main types are Batesian mimicry, where a non-toxic animal mimics another. So like a viceroy monarch mimicking monarchs, which taste mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. And Mullerian mimicry, where two toxic animals each like look a certain way, and that kind of like sends like a general signal, like this is not the color. You want to avoid this color. We're both poisonous, and we all kind of match so that okay. everyone can remember.
So the first kind
is Batesian, and that's when you're not poisonous, but you try to look, or you're not toxic, and you try to look like something else.
What kind is this where you're not toxic and neither? I guess the snake.
The snake is venomous. It would be Batesian.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not actually dangerous, okay. but you're trying to. So I learned the first three instars of these swallowtails are called bird dropping mimics.
Yes, I read about this.
Go for it.
Because.
I mean, it's probably obvious why they're called bird dropping.
They're so tiny that they want to look like the kind of whitish, clearish part. And then their eyes. Was it that looked like the darker part of
bird they're
poop?
Like brown and white. I mean, mm-hmm. they look like a bird poop, mm-hmm. Which is very cool. Mm-hmm. There's probably a different form of mimicry, like subcategory.
Yeah, because bird poop isn't venomous, as far as I know.
No, but certainly animals don't want to eat what they think is bird poop. No. They avoid it. Mm-hmm. But later, that's when they will turn green and have that big brown black spot to look like a snake. The osmeterium has been called to also look not only it releases a stank, but it's forked to look like
a snake's tongue.
Isn't that kind of cool?
I didn't even think about that.
So I thought that was pretty cool too. The eastern tiger swallowtail will have black and yellow stripes to make it look like a monarch caterpillar, which mm-hmm. is poisonous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the speichbusch. There are also the adults will turn. I think are all black, and they look like the poisonous pipe vine swallowtail.
Oh boy.
It is a lot of words swallowing my tongue. So a lot of mimicry going on, tons of mimicry within butterflies.
I even read that some people think that the spicebush swallowtails caterpillar at some stages looks like a particular species of tree frog as well. Did you read that? Oh,
no, but I could see that. I looked at a lot
with
of caterpillars.
With the eyes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fun fact to think about the evolution of all this, which mm-hmm. is kind of interesting. Mimicry isn't always just like a win scenario, like a win-win. Like mm-hmm. you look like a thing that's dangerous and now you don't get to get eaten. Mm-hmm. They did research on the Asian swallowtail, which are sexually dimorphic. So the males and females look different.
Right.
And the males are all black and females have red and yellow to mimic a different poisonous species.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So the males are black. Why don't the males mimic too?
Because they still want to attract females?
Yes. So okay. they are being sexually selected for.
Okay. But there would be some risk that comes with that, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all sexual selection is kind of wild. Mm-hmm. Like those birds that have like the crazy long tails mm-hmm. that like there's
are
no
not
use to
practical yeah. except for
or like
sexual
a cardinal,
selection.
Right? Uh-huh. Like a bright red cardinal versus like the grayish.
Well,
like,
hold on. The bright red cardinal blends in perfectly on Christmas cards.
So true. Especially this time of year. So there's that. However, the females, though, blending in, apparently they did some research and found that it came with this. So, like, genes don't. Evolution's random.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Natural selection will choose what it, you know, best fits for the environment at that any given time, right?
Yeah.
And so genes can't just, like, they don't just turn on the gene that's like, look like a snake.
Right.
It's through millions of years of evolution that they've been selected for more and more and more to look like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But when you change the genes that lead to that, it's not just the gene that made your little osmeterium look like a forked tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Females don't, in captivity, don't live as long as males. There's a lot of other things that have lowered their fitness, but allow them to be mimicking these other butterflies.
Okay.
So, like, basically meaning there's other mutations they carry that allow them to not be as, I don't say as healthy, but as fit. Like, mm-hmm. they won't live as long as a male, as long as there aren't predators around.
Okay.
But when there are predators around, they do mimic, and so that allows them to avoid being eaten. So it's just kind of interesting, like, just a reminder that while evolution will help you in some ways, it's not always a win-win. There are other things that kind of hitchhike along with it,
mm-hmm.
That lead to you not being as fit.
So. Yeah, it's important to remember. I don't know if I accidentally said it, but maybe I was thinking it accidentally. But, you know, when for example, the osmeterium emitting different chemicals for different predators at different stages in the caterpillar's life, I may have accidentally said, oh, that's so smart. But it's not smart. It's
yeah, they don't know they did it. But it's wild evolution. But evolution chose the ones that mm-hmm. did that. It's just wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wild
mm-hmm.
that evolution slowly chose these different. And I say slowly, sometimes genetic events created a drastic change. Mm-hmm. But especially if there's different chemicals, you got to think those were all happening at very different times yeah. in their evolutionary history. It's just so cool. All right,
thanks,
Margaret.
Camden.
Yeah. Thanks for that great research. You know what we got to do?
Yeah, I do.
We got to rate this Pokemon from 0 to 10 Pokeballs on how real it is.
Okay.
You went first. Do you want to rate it first?
Yeah. I'm going to go pretty high on
this
one.
I am too.
I'm going to go pretty high. Now, I am putting aside the fact that it is a Pokemon, so there are certain things that are inherent in all Pokemon that are unrealistic, like
cute
fighting style. Like tackle. That's not a thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
not part of it. But I'm going to go with a 10.
You're giving it a 10 out of 10?
Yes. You're really questioning me.
I can't
because
give,
I will tell you.
Yeah, go ahead. Wow.
When I first saw a picture of the Spice Bush Swallowtail Caterpillar, my breath was taken away because it looks exactly like Caterpie.
It does. It looks
and
exactly like
it. They even have the same defense strategy. So at least so far, this is the most realistic Pokemon I have seen out of the 8. Out of the 10 that we
you know, that's
about.
Fair. Because I think in my head, I'm doing a bit of gamesmanship mm-hmm. thinking, like, we've got 141 left.
But I can give 10s. I can give more than one
you're
10.
Right. Totally.
You know?
I hear you on that. I was going to give it a 9. I think it's.
I don't know who you're holding out for, but.
I don't know either, because I don't remember quite all of it. Well, especially this case, like Caterpie, I didn't know there was a real life caterpillar that mm-hmm. looked like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly taking it down from a perfect 10 because there's not, why is it a foot? Now,
that's a good point.
I have to maybe even hedge a bit of what I just said, which is canonically, I'm not sure where Bulbapedia is getting these measurements
yeah,
from.
Right.
I don't think it famously says. Now,
Ash
if we watch
Ketchum
the anime,
doesn't like take a ruler out on screen and is like, wow, I love Pikachu because he's exactly 35 inches tall. How cool.
Now, I will say,
time to weigh you, Butterfree.
On the other end of that, I remember from the anime, it's not the size of a caterpillar. They don't do this thing where they go, huh, let me get my magnifying glass out. It's a chunky boy in the show. So you know what? I'm sticking with 9, only for the size, but you're right.
But you understand why I picked 10.
Oh, yeah. And the smell. They mentioned mm-hmm. the smell it mm-hmm. has. The coloring. I mean,
pretty ding dang realistic.
It's almost at 9 Pokemon. They're like, I don't know. Just like pick an actual, like this caterpillar yes. is cool. Yes. And they just drew it.
Yeah. Which, I'm excited to see the other evolutions of this.
We will definitely come across other Pokemon later. We're like, oh, so they just like drew a real animal. yeah, but not, that's definitely our highest. Squirtle, yeah. I think, had been the highest before then, but...
Was Wartortle the lowest? Oh. A turtle with weaponry?
Well, I mean, Blastoise also had the...
Same thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun. I really like this one.
I'm so glad that we...
Let's do more bugs, baby. Yeah,
we're in bug world for yes, a bit. Please. I gotta tell you that.
Let's so, hang out here.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support our show and others like this, like Don't Pee on Your Leg and other side of
other, the other like shows. This. Other like this.
Oh, I said that way. please support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/don't pee on your leg so you can support us and earn access to our bonus content. Next episode 11 will be freely available, but episode 12 won't be, and that'll be Butterfree.
And I think we're gonna have a special guest for Butterfree.
For Butterfree? Yeah, a special guest, you guys. Butterfree, a special guest. You gotta become a Patreon supporter. You just gotta.
I want to say again, thank you to the Parker family for your support and to all of our Patreon fans. You can find more content from us on our social media pages on Instagram at Don't Pee on Your Leg, at Twitter at Don't Pee on Your Leg, just the letter P, and on Facebook at facebook.com/don't pee on your leg. Although honestly, we don't use Facebook that much anymore because...
Well, it updates. There.
Yeah, it'll update.
It updates for the people there. Were you going to say we don't love Facebook? It
destroys democracy.
Yeah. anyway, Gotta Classify 'Em All is a podcast produced by 2 Birds, 1 Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at www.2birds1scone.org.
If you have any questions or comments or you want to suggest anything for future episodes, email us at gottaclassify@gmail.com. Our original music is by Riley Taylor and Camillo.
Have a great week.